Good morning, everyone. We're going to be starting a brand new series called Discovering the Hidden Gifts at Christmas. You know, sometimes I think the best gifts that we receive are those not necessarily under the tree. They're the ones that are held back by our parents until the last moment and they're revealed to us. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, we would have gifts around the tree, and my mom knew not to put the best gifts under the tree because we had a tendency as kids to go and open those gifts up beforehand. She would save the best ones, like a bicycle or a little pop gun that I really wanted. She'd save that till the end, and she'd bring it out at the last moment, and voila, what a wonderful gift. And I think God has the same gifts in store for us as well. As we look at the Christmas story in this new series, we'll take a look at some of the hidden gifts that are there. We take a little bit of time to dig deep. We'll find these gifts are maybe the most valuable gifts we can take away. Before that, I want you to see a little clip of the Saguaro mission trip that we took to Arizona. It's where we took our ministry team, our prison team, to the prison in Arizona, and we did an outreach for the inmates there. I want you to catch the heart behind of what happened. Let's take a look at this video. Prison outreach to Arizona.
The prison ministry and also the inmates are setting up, hopefully getting everything completed by noon so that we can do all of our sound checks so that we're ready to roll first thing in the morning.
This is the dream. Dream for the world to see you.
Earlier this month, New Hope's prison ministry traveled to Eloy, Arizona to put together an outreach for our Hawaii brothers in the Saguaro Correctional Center. This facility has over 1,900 beds, and nearly all of its inmates are from our home state.
They're like fish out of water. You know, they're brothers from Hawaii in the middle of the desert, and they're hurting. You know, you can tell by the look in their eyes, they're hurting, they're broken. That's why we're here, to give them God's word and give them that little refreshment that they needed.
The guys came in by different modules, and we just see the Holy Spirit just infiltrating their heart and hearts.
One of the things that made this New Hope's third outreach in Saguaro different from the others is that other churches were able to join in. Pastor Scott Sinoda of First Assembly of God, Pastor David Katina of Great Life 808, the brothers Tony and Kaena Silva, and Pastor Joe Onasai of Word of Life, and prison ministry volunteers from Maui, Oregon, and California took part in this outreach.
I just thank God for New Hope really leading us and opening doors for other ministries to come and just to join in with them, partner with them.
I think the churches coming together to actually do the works of Jesus is a victory for heaven.
We hear the sound of revival coming.
Also joining this team were Tiffany Thurston and the Katinas. These musical guests welcomed the Spirit of the Lord into the prison walls through their gift of worship. Over 2 days, 4 services were held. Many hands were raised, representing hundreds of lives changed.
It was just a real exciting time to see what God's doing in people's lives. And that means it's going to be a domino effect into their families and their children. So it's great what went on in there.
But not everyone can make it to the services. The men in maximum security are only allowed 1 hour out a day and little to no interaction with others. For those men, God allowed the team to bring church to their cells.
Going in there and being able to pray with the men, it was just like a total blessing, you know, to just peek into the cells and just, you know, pray through the cracks of the cells. You guys felt so much love.
The outreach ended with a day of journaling workshops. Through this, the hope is that the men will continue their journey with the Lord. There were some amazing events that happened on this mission. And in a few months, we'll get to take a deeper look into this outreach. Till then, thank you to those that helped the prison ministry in this endeavor. Your support has made an invaluable impact.
That was an amazing time there. It was life-changing, not only for those who are in prison, but for many who attended and were a part of this outreach. The Katina themselves just were blown away. They kept talking about being a part of this and Even when we went to Oregon after this mission was done, they kept talking about their experience there in Saguaro. In fact, they said the next time you do one of these, in fact, not if, when you do the next one, we want to be a part of it. It was that life transforming for them from the inside out. You know, I watched all that was going on there, and all the inmates that came and the services that were held, the hundreds of hands who raised up their hearts to the Lord, received Christ as Lord and Savior. I watched all of that. I looked also at those who were in the segregated unit. So these are the maximum security. They could not be mixed with the general population because of the crime they committed or because they may have a contract out on their life. So their lives are in danger. So they spend 23 hours of the day in an 8x10 cell. They only are allowed 1 hour a day to come out. But I watched how ministry was exchanged. It was infused into their hearts. And I wondered how many of them who live now behind these physical walls of the prison because of a mistake or something they did in their past, I wonder how many of them realize that the key to their freedom actually exists in their own hands. They have the key that can unlock the prison doors of their hearts if they were just to receive and believe in the authenticity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I watched all of this taking place. And I remember standing in the Saguaro prison facility and looking around, and I thought to myself, I wonder how many of us who live on the outside of the prison walls are actually imprisoned ourselves, where we've allowed walls to be created in our lives, walls that have been built upon mistakes of our past, senses of inadequacies, a feeling of doubt and uncertainty about our future, of unforgiveness towards someone that we should be forgiving. I wonder how many walls have we built ourselves that have kept us from living the life that God has for us on the other side. And I wonder how many of us realize the key to the freedom that we have is actually in our own hands, where we can unlock that door and step into the future that God has, to move on from behind these walls and to move on ahead. You know what that key is? The key is this one word. It's called courage. The courage to be able to leave the past behind and move ahead. The courage to put aside the uncertainties and the doubts that we have and to unlock that door and move into the best that God has for us. It's going to take courage, folks. See, our default system, whenever we hit something that is confrontational, something that we just don't like to be involved in, some kind of a conflict situation, our default system is to run and hide. We don't like conflict, do we? We don't like to confront things in life, do we? I mean, how many of you would say right now that I just love the conflict? I just love the challenge and the fight ahead. You know, put somebody in front of me that I can run into and I want to do that right now. I want to argue with that person. I love conflict. How many of you would say that you're like that? If you're like that, you're a little bit kind of tipsy. Either that or you're a lawyer. You know, you just love the conflict situation. We don't like that. We are masters at sweeping stuff under the carpet. We'd rather avoid and take a detour around it than confront the impossibilities, than confront the challenges that are unknown what the results will be. So I thought, you know, it'd be good for us as we launch out on this new series called Discovering the Hidden Gifts of Christmas, that we take an up close and personal look at one of the probably the most overlooked characters in the Christmas story. He was a silent partner to Mary. His name? Joseph. And the life of Joseph will show us a gift called courage, and how to face those times that were very uncertain. How do you face adversity? You know, we find out about Joseph. He's pretty a silent guy in the Bible. You don't hear him conversing with anybody about anything. We catch up with Joseph in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 1 that turned his life inside out and upside down. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." You need to learn and know something about the Jewish culture at that time. The word betrothed means when a man and a woman come together, it's more legally binding than an engagement. It's where they're together and they're going to be married soon. Sometimes it lasts about a year or so. They don't sleep together. They don't cohabit with one another. But there is a legally binding agreement that they have with one another. It's more than an engagement. See, in our culture, we fall in love with the person and we go, "Oh, honey, I love you so much. In fact, I want to marry you." And so then we buy them a diamond ring. I think pocket guys buy diamond rings. Huh? They buy them a diamond ring and they say, "With this ring, you're going to be engaged to me." And she goes, "Oh, that's so nice. I just love it. Woo, beautiful ring." Bring out the magnifying glass. "Oh, really nice ring, ring." But if something happens in that relationship and we just don't like each other after a while and we fall out of this relationship, we simply break off the engagement. And we say, "Here, I don't like you. You can take the ring back." "No, no, let me keep the ring. You just go away. I don't like..." And we break off the engagement and we think, and that's fine. It's okay. It's acceptable in our society. But in a Jewish culture at that time, when they were betrothed, you don't break off the engagement just by walking away from one another. You actually have to go through a divorce process. See, to be betrothed, it was more legally binding than an engagement that we have today. They don't live together, they don't cohabit, but Mary, although they were betrothed, and she was betrothed to Joseph, she comes up to him one day and she says, "Oh, honey, I think I'm hapai." If you're watching by the internet, that's local slang for, you know, carrying a baby. Hapai is a Hawaiian word, you carry. "But I'm pregnant. I think I'm pregnant." Can you imagine what Joseph must have felt like? I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, and I can't. Bible says he was a righteous man. He tried to live his life in the ways of God. He wanted to obey every single thing God had asked him to do. And he did. He lived his life waiting for that moment where perfect Mrs. X is going to come into his life. And here she was in the form of Mary. They get betrothed. He's following all the ways of God. And she says to him, "I'm hapai. I'm expecting." "What?" "Yeah, and it was God who did it." Can you imagine what Joseph thought? "Yeah, right." "Tell me more." She goes, no, it was God. You know, that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen that way. It's not supposed to happen that way. I mean, it's like Joy. You know, Joy, my wife, she's like 15 years old, and, you know, I'm like 15 years old. Now imagine if she came to me one day and she said, "You know, honey, I think I'm hapai." It doesn't happen, honey. We're at that age where it just doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen like that. It's like Pastor Wayne coming to me one day and saying, "You know, Elwin, I don't think I'll talk anymore." That doesn't happen. It will never happen. Or let's say, you know, it's Christmas, so I'm going to give away $100. Hey, everybody, $100, $100, $100. It doesn't happen, folks. It'll never happen like that. And so here's Mary telling Joseph, "Honey, I'm pregnant." I cannot imagine what Joseph must have felt like. The despair, the anxiety, the uncertainties. "Man, what's going to happen to my future? What's going to happen to us? You're going to be like, we're going to be the talk of the town, and all that gossip is going to start happening. What am I going to do?" It's in those moments. It was in that moment that the courageous nature and the spirit of Joseph rose to the surface. He could have taken the easy street. He could have taken the easy way out. He could have stood up on the street corner and said, "That woman is an adulterer. In fact, and by the laws, she should be stoned to death, and I'm out of here." But instead, he started to consider putting her aside quietly, discreetly. He's going to divorce her, but not as a public spectacle. He was going to graciously and discreetly perform a divorce there. And as he was considering that, the Lord spoke to him in a dream. Let's read together what it says there. Top of your notes, read that with me. Ready? Go. "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" In other words, you know what my Bible says? The angel said to Joseph, "Suck it up, Joseph. You may be considering things that you want to do to protect your own self, but I got another plan for you. You got some things that you're considering to take your own ways and walk out of this situation on your own, but I got other plans for you. Joseph, he's no dummy. He's been living in that society for a while. He knows what the talk around the water cooler might have been like. He knows that there would have been the gossip and the fodder for gossip in that town. He knows that the public and the peer group pressure around him would have been saying, "No, don't do that, Joseph. She's an adulterer. Don't you realize that?" But even though the public may have been screaming at him, no, he knew what God was saying. And God said to go, and Joseph was going to go. He was going to obey. How do you react when there are times in your life where you're just uncertain about something? Oh, I know I should forgive that person, but I don't know if I can. I know I need to love that person, but because of what happened, hey, you know, people are they're going through these Black Friday sales, they're buying up all kinds of stuff. I can't even put food on the table. What am I going to do? My future is so uncertain. How do I get myself through these times? You know, maybe the Lord's maybe telling you right now, suck it up. I got a plan for you. Now, are you going to obey me or not? I'm going to give you some instructions. Are you going to obey me or not? Because of Joseph's obedience, despite what the public may have said, because of his obedience, we get to celebrate the birthday of a Savior today. What allowed him to proceed forward? Courage. Courage. We're going to unwrap some things of this gift called courage. And I want you to see that, first of all, number one, would you write this in, that the best example of courage is found in the ordinary. People who are the ordinary. It's not a superhero that has to possess courage. Sometimes we think, oh, I don't have it, so I'm going to wait for the superhero to step into my life, to carry me away from this mess. When we were kids, we grew up with a superhero named Superman. And then there was Batman. And then there was Spider-Man. And not so that women weren't left out, there was Wonder Woman. And they were the superheroes that were the courageous ones to save the city. And today we have a different superhero, that blue guy, that's with bald head there. What do we call him? Yeah, Megamind. He's a new superhero in town. And then you have that other kind of bald head guy, you know, kind of short. Yeah, Wayne Cordero, the superhero guy. That we expect them to carry us through these times when God is saying, no. I choose ordinary people. And I will give courage to the ordinary so they can do the extraordinary. Joseph was an ordinary man. He's a quiet man, man of very few words. But that's where God challenged him. And regardless of the rumors that were about to spread, the rumors that were about to explode in his world, the talk around town, that's her. There she is, she's walking. Yeah, that's her. And she's with that guy, Joseph. But that's not his kid. She's pregnant. Yeah, I know. They're Christians. But you know those Christians? We're hypocritical, yeah? They say they're Christians, but they fool around on the side. That's them over there, yeah. Yeah, you know. I wonder what church they go to. Yeah, I wonder who that pastor is that's leading him down the wrong way. A lot of gossip is going to happen here. And Joseph knew that. But yet he still chose to put aside his own feelings and emotions, and he chose to do the right thing. That when God asked him to do something, he obeyed. See, God will empower the ordinary to face the extraordinary. Paul reminds us of that in 1 Corinthians. Look at what he says, 1 Corinthians. He says, take a good look at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many that are influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? He chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. God chooses just the ordinary people. And he'll empower you with the courage to take those steps forward. Many times we're confronted with our doubts, our fears. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to walk into the unknown. We don't want to step out of our cell. We're comfortable here in our cell. We're comfortable. I don't want to move beyond that. Don't give me the key. I don't want to get out of here. See, I don't want to step into the wilderness. I don't want to have to cross the desert. Listen, folks, sometimes if you don't cross the desert, you'll never get to the promised land. There are times that you got to be challenged. You got to be willing to step out. How is it going to happen? By having the courage to do so. The courage to step out from where you are. Well, I don't have it. I don't sense that's in me. I need what it takes to move from where I am to do what God is asking of me. I don't have it. Yes, you do. It's in you. How do I know that? John says that. Let's read together what John says. Ready? Go. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Underline the phrase, greater works than these. Who will be able to do the works that he does and greater works than these that he did? Who? Those who believe in me, says the Lord. How many of you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How many of you? Yeah. How many of you believe that you have an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God, a God of the creator of the universe? See, if you believe in him, the Lord says, you can do the things I did when I was here, and greater works than these will you be able to do. But I wonder how many times we lock ourselves in our prison cell because we fail to believe. We underestimate the power of our God. And God says, I've given it to you. You already have it. All you got to do is take that out of your pocket, the key of courage, unlock the door, and move on with your life. And do the things I'm asking of you. Well, what is courage? Number two, would you fill this in? Courage is doing what is right, regardless of the cost. Oh, sure, there are going to be some risks involved. There are going to be a price to pay. Joseph knew that there were going to be some consequences of this news hidden in the gossip column. He knew that the facts were in favor of him. He knew that the law was in his favor. But despite that, despite knowing that he was justified to walk away from this relationship, he decided to obey what God was saying. And look at what God said to him. Matthew 1, Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. See, Joseph was courageous enough to do what was right. Even though he ran counter to the culture, even though he pressed against the peer group and the pressure that was coming in around him. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to the pressures of life around you, especially your peers, that may be saying to you, you know, you're going to go where? I'm going to go to church. Church? Why does anybody go to church nowadays? Don't you know that truth is all relative and God is all out there? So why don't we just be out there? Why do you need to go to church? Don't you know that there's sales going on right now? No, but I just sense something on the inside says I need to be here. Well, you need to be there and do what? You're going to help with ministry? You're going to set up the tents outside? Hey, why don't they just hire people to set up so that you can come with me and we can go shopping after this? Oh, no. See, but if I'm involved in ministry, it does something in me. So I just need to be there. I don't know why. There's something inside of me that just says I need to be there. You're going to do what? You're going to give. What do they call that? I think they call that tithing. What is that? Well, that's money you give. You're giving it to who? Well, I'm giving it to God. You don't even see God, and you're going to give it to God. You know, I don't quite understand it, but something inside of me says I need to do it. And that something is the Holy Spirit prompting your heart. Who are you going to respond to? The Holy Spirit's prompting or the peers around you? See, courage is doing the right thing. You just know inside. You know what it is to do the right thing regardless of the cost involved. And David was obedient. And we fast forward the tape, we get to celebrate Christmas because of his obedience. You know, it's going to be 11 years come January, 11 years that I stepped away from the bench and got involved in ministry. And still today, people still ask me, was that a hard decision? Do you regret making that decision? You know, people at that time were asking me, okay, so what are you going to do again? Let me see if I get this straight. So you're going to walk away from 20 years of education. You're going to walk away from 20 years of legal experience. You're going to walk away from having all the authority in the world to tell people to stand up. In fact, they stand up before you even say anything. You just got to walk in a room, they stand up for you. And then you can tell them to sit down. You can tell them to shut up. You can tell them, I don't want to see you again. You can put people in jail. You got all that authority. And you're going to put that aside to do what? You're going to earn half the pay. You're going to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because they have email now, and they're going to send you all their counseling requests by email. And they're going to expect you to answer. And you're going to work under who? And where is he from? And you're going to do all that because of, you know what my response was and still is? There's something inside of me that said I just had to do it. Regardless of what the cost, regardless of the price I had to pay. And because of that, you fast forward the tape now ahead. And my son, Brandon, who many of you met, he's spoken here before. I'm going to get him to speak again. Because of what I made, the decision I made, he is now our young adult pastor at our Leeward site. He told me when he was 16 years old, and I explained all of this to him, when everything was unfolding, I explained to him, no, Brandon, I'm not going to be a judge in the federal department. Many judges were leaving the state department to go to the federal department because they made a lot more money. And it was a lifetime appointment. I said, no, Brandon, I'm going this way to a church to make less money, to work harder. And you know what Brandon said to me? I will never forget this. He stood up from our dinner and he said, Dad, thanks for showing me that none of this is about money. And he's now one of our youth pastors, our young adult pastor. He came to me the day he received his very first paycheck. And he says, Dad, I want you to take me out to lunch. Can you pay? Because I want to show you my paycheck. But he knew that he was called. How did that happen? Because of a move I had to make based on courage. To do what I knew what God was asking me to do, regardless of the price. See, many times God will ask us to move forward in our lives, to do things in our lives that we don't want to do. Many times God will ask us to pay the price. Folks, it's going to take courage to move ahead. To do what you know is right. On the inside, you know this is right. Even if it's going to cost you. Someone wrote this about the strength of a man, which is what Joseph was all about. He says, the strength of a man isn't seen in the width of his shoulders. It's seen in the width of his arms as he holds those that he loves. The strength of a man isn't seen in how hard he hits. It's seen in how tender he touches. The strength of a man isn't seen in the weight he can lift. It's in the burdens that he can carry, that he can overcome. The value of a man is not what is in his bank, it's what's in his heart. Courage. Having the courage and the character to step forward whenever God is asking you to do something. What is it that God may be asking of you this Christmas season? Well, where do you find that courage? Number three, would you write this in? Courage is rooted in God's Word. You'll find the courage that you need in the Word of God. Joseph now has a baby, newborn. His wife just gave birth, and now the Lord comes to him again. An angel appears to him again, Matthew chapter 2, and tells him that it's not safe to be there. It says, when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. Joseph never complained, never argued. Do you know how far it is from where Jesus was born to Egypt? Hundreds of miles. And how was Joseph going to get there? Amtrak? Greyhound bus? You know, there was no transportation other than donkeys. But once the angel of the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him, Joseph got up, took his baby and the mom, loaded them on a donkey, and began moving out when? At night. Immediately. What makes a man do that? What makes a man stand up and say, you know what? All right, you said that in the dream. I'm going to go. How do you know that's God? That's not something, a bad burrito you ate the night before. How do you know that's God? See, folks, you're going to find courage when you know the Word of God, when you can discern what God is saying. Can you discern what God is saying to you? Because when you can discern the Word of God and you can discern His instructions, you know that if He says something, even though it sounds crazy, you're going to do it because He's standing behind you. He's going to go ahead of you. He's going to prepare the way. And He will be there to carry you through even the toughest times. But you got to discern what He's saying. How are you doing in that area? Do you know what God may be saying to you? That's why the Lord says here in Matthew 10, let's read that together. Ready? Go. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. How are you at discerning God's word? What are you doing with what He's already said to you? Unless and until you're able to discern the word of God, you'll forever be hesitant in the things that you do. I don't know. I don't know if this is right or not. Someone asked me after one of the services, they said, well, how do you know? If I'm a new Christian, how do I know that? Well, get in association with others who know the Word of God. Help them to help you. Get into the Word. Our Bible studies, our devotionals. See, the Lord wants us to know His Word so much so that He actually gave us a parable that teaches us the importance of knowing His Word. It's called the sower and the seeds. Matthew 13. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And the disciples said to him, okay, that's good, Lord. That sounds good, but what does it mean? And why are you talking to us in parables? He says, because I need you to understand. We can have eyes, but we may not be able to see. We can have ears, but we won't be able to hear. And I want you to be able to see what I'm seeing. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. That's why you need to know the Word of God. And so here's a parable to help you to understand it. Then the Lord began to explain the parable. But rather than me explaining it to you, I want to show you what the parable is all about. So we're going to see an illustration of the parable of the sower and the seeds. So here we go. Matthew chapter 13. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. See, we can hear the word. We can listen to the word. But if you don't understand it, the evil one will come. And he knows what's going on in your mind. And he'll kind of nonchalantly wander into your life, seeing that you trying to figure out things. He's going to play with you. He's going to mess with you. And because you're still trying to figure it out, knowing that you're not grounded, he'll sneak behind you and steal the seed. And there was one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He is so happy he heard the word. He's so happy he came to New Hope. He's just dancing around. But he had no firm root in himself, and it was only temporary. And the devil, knowing that, made his approach to this man. Seeing that he had no firm root, this man kept wavering and running, not sure of himself. The devil would taunt him, and finally, when he had enough,
he would steal his seed. Oh, wait, yeah, rip off his head. That's it. And there was one on whom seed was sown among the thorns. This is the man who hears the word. He knew what the word said, but the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choked out the word. Now, he knew what the word was all about, but he still had part of his mind in the world. So the devil, seeing that he was pake and that he loved money, would reach deep into his pocket and would pull out golden coins and would distract this man from the word. And he quickly took what the devil offered. Not only that, but he had some green in his pocket and flashed that around in front of him. Because he wasn't firmly rooted, he was distracted by the wealth of the world. And the devil, licking his fingers, slowly but surely took the seed from this man as well. And there was the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil. This is the man who hears the word and understands it. And the devil would come, and he'd try to mess with this man who knew the word and understood it. And the devil would try to whack him. And their word overcame the devil, and he would chase him out of the way. The seed that fell among good soil, and he bore a harvest 160-30-fold. It's not about just hearing the word. It's understanding it. Hey, Arlene, you know, you represented a seed that fell amongst the soil on the road, but you did not understand it. Did that happen in your life? And how did it affect your confidence and the courage to make decisions?
Well, when I first accepted Jesus into my life years ago, I felt so good. I felt so fresh and everything was new, and I came to church every weekend and just thought that this was it. But then when I came upon some hard times, I just realized that there was nothing that I could lean on. And I started to attend Bible classes and joined a small group, a Bible study group. And it was then that I just gained the confidence in knowing that I can just absolutely lean on Jesus' word.
That's great. Good. Thanks for that, Arlene. Hey, you know, Charlie, you represent the seed that fell amongst the rocky places. And although you received the word with joy over time because your roots didn't go deep, you kind of withered away. Did that happen to you?
Most definitely. It was challenging because I was so used to doing things my own way. And I had to learn through God's word that I have to give it up to Him, not try to do it my way. And I watched and saw how He worked in my family's life, my wife, my children. And that blessed me so much that encouraged me to continue to just seek Him and not myself.
Great. Thanks so much, Charlie. In fact, Charlie is a father of Tiffany Thurston, so you can see how his love for God actually is exhibited in his daughter there. Hey, John, you are ethnically related with me. We are both Pake brothers, two Pakes, and I know that, you know, you've come from the world. And was there a time where you knew the word, but because, again, it didn't go deep, you were just deceived by the wealth of the world?
Absolutely. After 30 years in the corporate arena in travel and entertainment, I found myself many times in a situation where, in order to make more profit, bring in more contracts, or make the bottom line, that I would have had to or be encouraged to compromise my principles and who I am in Christ. And fortunately, through the word and through the principles that I've learned here at New Hope, I was able to have the courage of not giving into the world and just for the sake of profit and more contracts, but take a stand and do what was right. And thankfully, Lord called me. So very thankful for that.
That's great, John. Hey, you know, some people may not know this, but you were like me. We were in the world, we're making pretty good money, and then God got a hold of your heart, and you've been here on staff. How did that happen?
Well, I looked at this judge who came off the bench and gave up his retirement early, and came into the ministry, but you were really an example because I knew that God called you, and I heard that call as well. And although we both know that you don't get rich in ministry, and we gave up quite a bit in the world, what the world would see as finances and a lot of perks, I think both of us can agree that the last 3 years, for me especially, I pinch myself every day and just thankful that I can serve the Lord, because the joy and what we see God doing is unsurpassable in the world.
I took courage for that. A lot of courage. Hey, Roy, how appropriate that you are representing the seed that fell amongst good soil and bearing fruit 100-fold, 60-30. But did it always happen in your life? I mean, what was your experience with the seed and the Word of God falling into your life?
Well, Pastor Helena, I think for me, I've been in each of the soils in my life, you know, on the wayside, rocky grounds, and the thorny bushes, you know, allowing the world to choke me up, desiring other things. And you know something, is until I went into prison, really accepted the Lord into my life and got a chance and opportunity to come out. See, the parable about this, the seed is the Word of God. And when we put the Word of God into our hearts, God will give us the strength to make it and to be in the good soil. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:17, it says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. May you have the power to understand how, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and deep His love really is. Then you'd be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. See, it was into, it got into the Word of God and in a church and serving God. I never did have 100% more, but now with Jesus in my life, I have 100% more. If we have Jesus in our life, we have 100% more than anyone than we ever had in our lives. And you know, for me, the Bible talks about in this parable about having 100, 60 or 30. See, I believe when we come out, after we get saved, all of us, is what we do after we get saved. What we do with our salvation, the grace that was given, when we do things for the kingdom of God, we get 100 times. We build ourselves to have 100 times, which God wants us to have. So having the Lord in our lives and doing all we can for the kingdom of God, going back into the prisons and sharing God's love with the brothers, that's my high in life now, seeing brothers come to the Lord and having this precious gift of eternal life.
Thanks so much, Roy. It takes courage to do all of that. Would you give our seedlings a hand? Thanks so much, guys. Seed is the Word of God. It's not just hearing the Word. It's not just singing about it. It's taking that seed and planting it in good soil. Good soil doesn't happen overnight. You throw a seed out there in the yard, doesn't mean it's just going to grow and flourish. Good soil needs to be worked, needs to be nurtured. How does it happen? It happens here in service, worshiping the Lord, in association with others who know the Word and can encourage you towards God's best. It's getting in your devotions every day. That nurtures your heart. When the Word of God gets dropped into good soil, you will bear fruit 100, 60, 30-fold. You'll be courageous to do so. And I want us to be a church like that. A church that knows God's Word and sinks it in our hearts. So when God asks us to do something, as individuals and as a church, we'll say, yes, Lord, we're here. We'll go. Regardless of the price, regardless of the cost, we want to move in step with you. Can we be a church like that, a courageous church? Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for your Word and just the simplicity of your gospel. It's not something where we got to go to college to learn all about, Father. Your gospel is plain and clear and it's simple. This one gift that Joseph gives to us, the gift of courage, may we indeed accept it, receive it, and now begin to apply it in our lives. If there's someone that we need to forgive, Father, give us the courage to do so. Someone who we need to love that is unlovable in our sight, Father, give us the courage to love them like you would love them. Some of us are here this morning, Lord, and we haven't yet made a decision to receive you as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And despite what our friends may say, Father, we know on the inside that we need to start. Would you help us to have the courage to do so? And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you may be here this morning and you have not yet received Jesus Christ or made a decision to have him be your Savior, to make him your best friend, person who will never leave you. He's not swayed by the pressures of the world. And you want to begin that relationship with him. Despite what your friends may say, despite what the world may say, if you wanted to accept him as Lord and Savior today, would you raise a hand right now? By doing so, you're saying, yes, that's me. I want to begin that with you, Lord. Anyone here? You're on the side here, sister. God sees your hands. Keep your hands up so the Lord can see your heart, sir. Anyone else? Yeah, raise it up high so the Lord can see you there. Yeah. Good. Right here in the middle. Yeah. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a while, but I need some courage, man. I got some things that I'm challenged with. Father, would you give me the courage to move ahead, to unlock that door of my prison cell? I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to live in the life that you have for me. If that's you, would you raise a hand saying, Lord, help me with this? A lot of us. Put your hands down. If you just received Jesus Christ for the first time, we have a yes packet available for you. It's completely free. Outside as you exit, you'll see some of the ushers holding up this yes packet. Go up to them and tell them of the decision you just made today. Has a free Bible and some material. It's going to help you to understand a new relationship you're developing with Jesus Christ. Let's pray this prayer together. I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Give me the courage to overcome the challenges. Give me the courage to live a life that pleases you. Help me to be all that you want me to be. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to him in Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer. We love you, Lord, with all that we have. Help us to live now differently than when we came in. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Welcome these who said yes for the first time.